For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Throwing out your garbage using rain. We wait for stuff to get easier. It will never get easier. What happens is you handle hard better. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, is how can we handle the hard? Michael Singer says, things happen to you that you're not comfortable with, and you suppress them. You shove them away, you resist them. So you stored all this junk inside of you, and so now it's very, very sensitive. The more we push things down under the line, you know, we've got our brain, we've got the line, everything we're unconscious of, we're pushing all that negative stuff under the line because we don't think we can deal with it. And so what do? We push it down, and it covers up our inner goodness with all this crap. It's like a closet that you throw things in that you don't want to deal with. And there's something that you need that's at the bottom of that closet. But the only way to get it is to get rid of all the other junk that you've thrown on top of it, or at least to move it out of the way. And to me, that's what practice has been, is taking this mask off and getting rid of this brick. And I use both analogies because sometimes the things are too big to just be a mask, they're really a brick. But we have to get rid of them, and we can't get rid of them by pushing them away. We can only get rid of them by dealing with them. Because life is gonna throw us a lot of curveballs. And if we just sweep them all under the carpet, we've covered our true selves up. Our authentic self is covered up with all the crap that we've thrown in there because we felt like we couldn't handle it. And then because we don't feel good, we try to manipulate the world around us. I have a friend who recently has been binge shopping, buying all sorts of crap. And she lives in a one-room unit in an independent living facility. She doesn't have room for all this stuff, but she's not feeling good inside, so she's buying all sorts of crap, trying to manipulate the outside to make herself feel better, as if new clothes or new whatever is going to make you feel better. It can't. And it never will. Those things are still going to come up because as long as they're in you, somebody's going to press a button that activates them. You can't control that. You can't keep yourself from getting triggered. And so what we need to do is deal with the difficulties. You know, there's different ways people handle difficulties. Some people just feel overwhelmed and helpless and they shut down, maybe become a recluse, because things are just too much. Some people ignore the fact and pretend, oh, it's no big deal. Okay, I didn't like that, but it's no big deal. Just let it go. Well, all those little no big deals, one of them is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But we still think, oh, it's no big deal. I'm not going to deal with it. Just let it go. Let it be. And we think we're letting it go, but what we're really doing is stuffing it under the line, putting it on top of our true self, our inner goodness, and covering that up. And so we don't have that light shining from us. And the third way is kind of feeling anxious in a way that spurs us to action. I mean, the first way, the overwhelmed and helpless, that's anxious too, but that's overwhelmingly anxious. But if we have a little anxiety that spurs us to do something about it, that's the best way to handle difficulties. We move from one spot on that continuum to another. Sometimes we're feeling helpless, other times we're feeling overwhelmed, other times we feel like we have agency and we can do things. So throughout the day, depending on what's happening, we're moving back and forth. So neither's good or bad, and we don't want to beat ourselves up over that because we don't want to encourage our judgmental neural pathways to get stronger. But we do have to decide how are we going to handle our difficulties. Are we going to bury our head in the sand? Or are we going to continue to be overwhelmed by revving ourselves up and kind of jumping on our hamster wheel of reactivity? Or are we just going to acknowledge our difficulties there and process it and learn to deal with the difficult things that come up? Michael Singer says, so you're using all this energy to hold it down. Now, because you're so uncomfortable and you're not feeling love, you're not feeling joy, you're not feeling inspiration in life, and you're feeling guilty, whatever the heck it is, you now have to use energy to figure out what to do not to have to deal with yourself. So when we push all that stuff down, we're covering up our love, our joy, our inspiration for life, and we're feeling like crap, and then we got to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with myself to make me feel better? And the tool that we're talking about today, RAIN, is probably for what I've found the best tool to help us learn how to feel better, because we're applying both mindfulness and self-compassion to the difficult things in our life. RAIN helps you build inner strength, and it also deconditions the habitual ways that you resist the difficult things. So it doesn't matter if you resist what is by lashing out in anger, by getting drunk, or by getting immersed in obsessive thinking, or my go-to busyness. It doesn't matter how you react to try and make yourself feel better. Your attempt to control the life within and around you is what's cutting you off from your own heart and from actually living in the present moment. So we see the hurtful words of the friend, but we don't see that friend is suffering. And so what we don't want to do is resist things and push them away. Oh, that's a terrible person. How could she say that to me? As if it's all about me, when it's really all about she's really hurting. I saw something on Facebook today, a little cartoon that said, don't give a lecture when they need a hug. And I thought, wow, that's really true. But we end up giving ourselves lectures when we need a hug. And I know I put my hand on my chest automatically because that's my hug. And a lot of people are uncomfortable with it, but it works for me. So when you bring RAIN directly to the experience of any difficulty, you'll discover the vulnerability that's underneath that difficulty that you've been trying to not deal with, because you don't think you're strong enough. And you'll awaken your ability to be self-compassionate. When you see what's really going on, you kind of step back and see the whole big picture, you can become more self-compassionate. And that will naturally loosen the grip of selfishness or other ego coverings that limit you. So we're loosening the grip of all this stuff that we've thrown on top of our true self that's limiting us by practicing RAIN. So our negative self-beliefs, even if they're deeply painful, often give us a sense of certainty, of orientation, or of control. Yeah, I know this sucks, but it's here and I know it, and whatever. So we don't do anything about it because we're more comfortable with things that are familiar, and we don't like uncertainty. And I don't know if, you know, doing this is gonna, you know, I don't know if this meditation's gonna help, so I'm just not gonna bother. But we stay in trance for years or decades, perpetrating our sense of unworthiness. We have a habitual narrative of self-judgment, and we have a lot of fear-based thinking. A lot of our thinking is based on fears, and then we want to push that thinking down because it's scary and we don't think we can handle it. But it's only when we open ourselves to the difficulties that we see how it's cutting us off from others, from our own heart and our own spirit. And we don't have to believe we're thought. We can begin to intuit the freedom that's possible in shedding our old skin. I've talked about in seventh grade how I was dropped by my best friend, and that cut me off from my own heart. It cut me off from people for years and years, and I kept it below the line. And remember, everything that's below the line, that's still going on in the 2,000 to 3,000 thoughts you have in an hour, again and again and again. You just don't know it. So that was jerking me around for years until I finally stopped and looked at it and thought, you know what, this is not so scary. So she didn't want to be my friend. I got another group of friends that today are much preferable to me than she would have been as a friend. So you can look at the difficulties and say, you know what, it seemed so terrible when I was in seventh grade, but you know what, I'm not in seventh grade anymore, and I can deal with it. So if you scan your uncomfortable feelings, chances are you'll notice that you've ignored something that's hard, or you've turned on yourself when you've experienced difficult times. It might be an experience from your childhood that's triggering it all. It could be you didn't take care of a relationship, or you didn't take care of yourself in a skillful way. Or it might be that you just lashed out in anger. Whatever, maybe you weren't careful and you made a mistake. Or you're at war with yourself for not being the person that you really want to be. You're at war because you're not sitting in meditation as long as you think you should be. Or you're not communicating as skillfully as you think you should be. And so what we'll want to do is think about some of those situations as we look at the four steps of RAIN. And then we'll pick one and go through a guided meditation of RAIN after we've done that. So the four components of RAIN are recognize, and that's simply what's happening right now inside me and outside me. And I changed it to admit and allow, because a lot of times we won't admit something bad's happening. We just say, it's nothing. It didn't bother me. Admit that it bothered you and allow reality to be reality. We sometimes say, she said that, but she didn't mean it. Well, she did say, my little sister through big brother's big sisters is now an adult. And whenever she tells me about a date that she had, I say to her, remember what Maya Angelou says, when they tell you who they are, believe them the first time. So allow reality to be reality and believe it. And then we investigate what's happening inside myself. Not who, what, when, where, and why. What was said? Why was it said? How was it said? That's not investigate. But what am I feeling? What sensations do I have? What emotions is it bringing up? What beliefs do I have about myself? And finally, the end, which is, what does the hurting, frightened, wounded place inside of me need right now? So recognize is simply to be mindful, be aware of what's happening right now, without rose-colored glasses and without dark glasses, just seeing what is, shining the light of awareness on your inner life. It's not our inner critic just spouting off, because a lot of times what our inner critic's saying isn't true. But it's seeing, here's what's happening right now, and I'm not going to push it down below the line. I'm going to keep it above the line so I can see what's happening. And we focus our attention on whatever thoughts, emotions, feelings, or sensations are arising in the present moment. And you'll note that some of those sensations are easier to connect with than others. So if your body's feeling jittery, you might not recognize that that's the physical response saying you're about to fail, because you've never paid attention to it and associated the physical response with what's happening in your beliefs or in your emotions. So you simply ask, what's happening inside of me right now? And be curious about it, not judgmental. Try to let go of any preconceived ideas. Well, I'm not supposed to let that bother me. That was just a little thing. I shouldn't let it bother me. But it is. So instead, listen in a kind and receptive way, saying, yeah, that really hurt. And the second step is admit and allow. And that really hurt is kind of the admitting. Yeah, that did hurt. A lot of times we won't admit to ourselves when someone hurts us because maybe we think they didn't mean it or we just don't want to deal with it. But denying or rejecting appropriate emotions in response to difficult situations can diminish your resilience and capacity to work with life's challenges. The more you practice staying with your emotions rather than forcing positive thinking, the more you're going to trust your ability to fully inhabit all of your emotions, according to David Emerald and Donna Zajonic. We don't trust ourselves because we don't know how to be with our negative emotions, and we think they're going to be much worse than they are. You know, we're scared to be vulnerable. But when we fight against reality, we lose every single time because reality is reality and we can't change it. So we need to see clearly the external world is not meeting my wishes right now. And there's nothing I can do to change it. I can't control the external world. That's admitting it and allowing it to be. But I can choose my reaction to it. I could stop fighting what's real and learn how to respond to it in a way that's going to make life at least better for me, maybe not perfect. We admit reality is not what we want, and we allow the thoughts, emotions, feelings, sensations to arise because they have wisdom to give us if we listen to them. We're willing to be present with what is, so we give a different quality of attention. Michael Singer says, so first own it. Don't blame it on anybody. You own that you weren't able to deal with things well enough. First, you get a center where you notice, I can handle this discomfort. Not that I can make it go away. So that's really what we're doing with the admit and allow is, yes, there's a discomfort. I'm going to let it be there and I can handle it. I'm not going to say I can't deal with it and push it away. Michael Singer's favorite phrase is, I can handle it. Because if you can handle something, it's not a big deal. It's when you can't handle it that it becomes a big deal. So the next step is investigate. And sometimes you only need the first two steps of rain if it's a little thing. Recognize it's happening, admit it, allow it, and sometimes that's all you need, it's gone. But most of the time, if it's a bigger thing, you need to investigate. And you want to do that because these feelings are triggered repeatedly. And your reactions can become very entrenched. How many people have a button that someone presses and you automatically lash out or you automatically close down or you automatically do something? Over and over and over, and often that automatic isn't the most skillful thing to do. But we do it because they become entrenched. And that happens because we've stored our junk inside of us. And instead of looking at that as, oh, I got all this junk inside of me, what a terrible person I am, we want to look at that part of our being, that fragile, wounded part, with compassion, with love, with understanding. You know, we didn't become wounded intentionally. It's not our fault that we're wounded, but it is our responsibility to try and heal our wounds. So to investigate, we call on our natural curiosity to see what's really going on. If you feel like you're really drained when you do it, it's probably you're doing an intellectual analysis. Well, I said this and she said this and the tone of voice she used was this. And it's all her fault. You're too much in your head. What investigation is you're just letting your mind rest so it's not so cloudy. Just like if you have a bowl of water and you put mud in it and you stir it up, you can't see what's in the bowl, if there's anything in there. But if you let the mud settle, all of a sudden you can see more clearly. You can probably even see your reflection in the water. So what's clouding your mind? You know, is it pettiness? Is it jealousy? Is it envy? There are things that are clouding your mind. We have to let them settle. Rick Hansen says, open to a wider, more impersonal, big picture of the situation. So it's less about you and more about lots of swirling causes coming together in unfortunate ways. See if any kind of deeper insight about the other person, yourself, or the situation altogether comes to you. So we're not analyzing the situation, but we're, because that only makes us strengthen the neural pathways of I'm a victim. When we keep telling the story over and over, we're strengthening that neural pathway. Oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. They did this to me. But what we want to do is notice what's underneath the feelings. We all have a resistance to feeling uncomfortable and unsafe. So we busy ourselves with our thinking mind so we don't have to feel those uncomfortable feelings. So we investigate by letting the mud settle. And you might ask questions like, what feelings and sensations are really strong right now? You know, is it your shoulders tightening? Is your jaw locking up? How's your stomach feel? It's important to understand how it feels in your body, because then you can start to notice that situation when it arises in the future and be ready for it. What happens in your mind? Are you running revenge scenarios in your imagination? Are you replaying the argument, saying what you wished you would have said? Well, we can't change the past. But sometimes we do that because it makes us feel more important or stronger, saying, oh, I could have done this. What are the honest feelings in your heart? Not just the anger, but what about the fear, the shame, the helplessness, the hurt, or the sadness that's hiding underneath that anger? And then you'll widen the investigation by looking at what you're believing. And think about how living with that belief has affected your life. And then look at your intention. What is your intention, or was your intention in that situation? Were you trying to tear others down so you could look better? Or were you trying to improve the situation? Were you trying to be right? Or were you trying to develop a relationship? And then the last question is, what do you long for right now? Attention, safety, acceptance, understanding, love? Those are the kind of questions that you're using to investigate. And then nurture is simply providing self-compassion to ourselves. We recognize we're suffering, and we nurture ourselves with self-care. What do I need right now to feel okay? And it's not something outside. It's not my chocolate that's going to make me feel better inside, even though I still love to eat my chocolate. We have to let go of the belief that we don't deserve to be nurtured, and we have to nurture ourselves. It's sensing, what does that wounded, frightened, hurting place inside of us need most? And then thinking of what gesture of care is going to make it feel better. So the chocolate doesn't make it feel better, but for me, putting my hand on my chest, yeah, I feel better. Think about what you might do to a loved one or a friend in that situation. And that, because sometimes we don't know how to make ourselves feel better, but we sure know how to help other people feel better. So if we think about what we do for them, we could do that for ourselves. So it's basically, what's the hurting, frightened, wounded place inside of you need right now? So any questions or thoughts before we go into the guided meditation?
It's all a learning. No, just for me anyway, to just recognize I'm angry. than to catch myself before I get angry that I'm angry, because that's judgment. I'm judging myself. And then the biggest step is to get from there to allow. That's because I have to get over that criticism. Okay, you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
But even to get to the nurture, there's blocks there that say, well, you don't need that.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Really, it's just every step is learning.
Yeah, or maybe it's unlearning.
Or unlearning, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, we're taught, oh, you don't need anything. You can handle it,
yeah.
You know, be a big girl, you know, whatever.
You gotta be
Deal with it. Yeah.
What are you crying about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those things. So, yeah, it is hard to move from one to the other step. And the steps don't necessarily have to be done in order either, because sometimes if you're having trouble going from recognize to allow, you want to put investigate in between. Because if you do a little investigation, then you can say, okay, yeah, this does, you know, I understand it's here. I can accept it. Or sometimes before you can even start, as soon as you recognize, you need to put a little nurture in there. Say, I can't deal with this right now. I mean, there are some sits where something comes up that's negative and it's just like, nope, I'm not dealing with this. I'm gonna do loving kindness today because I don't have the strength to deal with this right now. And it's okay to not have the strength to deal with it right now. It's not okay to push it under forever. At some point, you have to deal with it. And I found that over time, because I have been dealing with things, that I can trust myself that I'll deal with it. It's when I don't trust that I'll deal with it that it keeps popping its head up over and over and over again. Like, I need attention, you know, don't forget about me. But now it doesn't feel like I'm getting poked as much. Because I do sit with the things that I need to sit with. So we went over rain in a specific order, but you don't necessarily take the steps in that order. If you're dealing with small irritations or mildly unpleasant emotions, that's often the case. You only need to recognize and admit and allow. However, when you're dealing with something overwhelming, you may but bounce from one to the other. So if you're overwhelmed, you may not be able to recognize the feelings and to allow those feelings to be. So maybe you start with nurture. Or if you can't move from recognize to allow, maybe you do some investigation to help you get over that hump. In any way, if you want to handle your difficulties rather than stuff them below the line and carry them around for the rest of your life, you need to recognize what you're feeling, admit and allow the external situation or reality and your feelings about it to be what they are, investigate what most needs attention, and nurture yourself with self-care.